The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome to Tech Talk right here on Chai FM every Friday, just to set up your weekend with all the knowledge and gizmos and gadgets and everything to do with technology, how it impacts our businesses, how it affects our lives, and how remarkably, you can't even imagine not working with technology on a daily, minute by minute, every second basis. It's just something that is basically running our lives quietly at the back end. But I try to make it simple, useful, and a little bit exciting so that everybody can get a sense of what's happening and what's going on. Now, today, a little controversial gadget, which I'll discuss. It's not controversial as a gadget. Sadly, what I am noticing is less and less products are being made available in South Africa natively. Combination of pricing, demand, and just general apathy, I think. I think it's become very difficult for the gadget and gizmo companies in South Africa to manage with the volumes they need to make sense as distributors or whatever it is. But I've been talking to a lot of the distributors over the last little while, and they used to take a lot. For example, the Core Group used to do a lot of additional gizmos, gadgets. But here's one that they wouldn't do because it actually competes a little with where they're going and what they're doing. But I'm going to talk a lot about something which is, you know, fairly interesting over the last little while. There's been a strong revival in getting back to an analog world that we live in. So paper books, instant photography, where the picture's the picture, you can't manipulate it and glow it up a little and, you know, remove dustbins and do all sorts of absolutely remarkable technological manipulation of the pictures on your phone. While all of that is spectacular and certainly does help if you really want a great picture of the kids without any distraction or multiple bits and pieces happening, or it's a little dark, or you just took it a little off angle, etc. The latest versions of all the various OSs, certainly the upcoming iOS 27, as well as Android phones on Samsung and many others, allows you to do professional level manipulation of your pictures. The fact that the cameras themselves are so good and they can take such an incredible picture without any intervention, it just all happens in the background. But if there is a couple of misses or you want to do a few things, there's no question you can manipulate like mad. So let's have a quick live read and break for our sponsor, and I'll be back with the remarkable Paper Pure gadget. And as I said, a little unusual for me because it's not that easily available in South Africa. So quick live read, and we will be back straight after this. Discam, our good friends, wellness clinic for adults, offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Discam Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. All of this is fast, affordable, and done with care. Find your nearest Discam Wellness Clinic inside Discam pharmacies across the nation. They're popping up all over the show. Better health always starts here.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 Chai FM.
Well, welcome back. And as I said, something that I try not to do, but I was so taken. I purchased one of these in one of my travels, and I've been a big fan of using an iPad for reading, not so much for note-taking. I've never really used a pen on it, even though I could. Just something that didn't feel natural, something that didn't feel particularly useful to me. But I picked this little device up, as I said, during one of my travels. It's called the Remarkable Paper Pure. And essentially, without getting into the whole analog versus digital thing, the real point of taking notes using a device where you can write on it, doodle on it, do all sorts of bits and pieces, and save it and link it to all your various other apps. And, you know, certainly using AI now with your agents, you can translate it, you can transform it, you can do all sorts of crazy stuff in order to add it into a workflow that makes sense. Now, a lot of people like jotting, like doodling, like just making notes in meetings. other than fully recorded transcripts. And the problem with transcripts is they tend to be a little bit too much. And this is something we'll talk about with regard to AI and agentic AI a little later. But often a lot of these apps have become AI assisted, and they give you these very detailed, sometimes blow by blow, blow transcripts that can be summarized and lots of things. But the human brain, in terms of where you are and what you're doing, really does work extremely well. And you can use it to cherry pick the real detail that you want. You can make notes on a piece of paper. A lot of us do use a notebook and other things. But essentially, it absolutely makes perfect sense to use a device. And that's where this remarkable PaperPure came in. It's a very lightweight e-ink tablet. It feels, when you write on it, like writing on real paper. There's no glare on the screen, even in bright sunlight. Unlike some shiny other things, whenever you write and you do things, there's no glare at all. It features a 10.3-inch canvas display, which they call it, with improved contrast. This is the latest version. It's the new Remarkable PaperPure Pro. And this is where it's absolutely insane. It has up to 3 weeks of battery life. So you don't have to worry about charging it every night or when you're traveling. It's got 32 gig of storage, which is four times more than the previous model. It's got a really fast 1.7 gigahertz processor and 2 gig RAM. Essentially, it's a smart device or a smartphone. And it also weighs just 360 grams, which absolutely blows away any iPad or anything of that similar size by two-thirds. And that makes a big difference when you're carrying something around in your backpack, in your bag, wherever. It just makes sense. You haul it out and use it. It syncs amazingly with your phone or computer. So you can organize the notes, read and annotate PDFs, sketch ideas, manage your schoolworks, business plans, meeting notes, whatever it is. And you don't waste paper. And you're not really putting a massive load on all the various bits and pieces and data. Now, right now, you can get them internationally for around about $399. I've seen it in South Africa on a couple of the parallel sites like GWiz. Unfortunately, it looks a bit expensive. They're around about 20,000 Rand for the full pack, I will say. So in other words, with the cover and all the pens and all the bits and pieces. But the base model is $399, which is roughly 7,000 to 8,000 Rand, depending on what's happening with the Rand at any time. And you can also spend a bit more, depending on the bundles and the marker stylus or the sleeve folio case, which takes it to about $450-$460, which is still one of the cheaper premium e-ink options. Now, compared to a tablet, you can get tablets, Android tablets from Samsung and many others in that sort of price range, 7,000-8,000 Rand. But again, you're talking about an Android tablet. Some of them you can write on, some of them you can't. They also tend to have shiny screens and relatively low battery life. And I find that in many cases, it's so much easier to have something that's dedicated to this job rather than something that can do everything. Because tablets are essentially large screen smartphones with all the technology that comes with it. So it becomes essentially a computer and you have a lot of distractions. If you just want something that you can read on, you can make notes on, you can do all sorts of things on, and it is remarkable how actually natural it feels. As you're writing away, as you doodling, as you, whatever you do on a piece of paper, this works exactly the same. The difference is you never need to fill your notebook and forget it at home and then have to scroll through and try to find out the notes you made 3 weeks ago. It's all summarized really easily. I connected it via the smartphone and my computer to Grok or to one of the other AIs and used it as a source. And you can simply say, you remember, I had that meeting last Wednesday. What were the key points? You just type it in, it does a little search and boom, up it pops with all the information. You can go back and look at your notes then. It's just a really smart, interesting way to do it. And e-ink, it's had a long history. I mean, Amazon been doing it in their Kindles for an age. There have been a number of others, but this one seems to have just hit the sweet spot of price, usability, and sheer ease of use. So it really does make a lot of sense. And you can find it at remarkable.com, silly name. and have a look. They don't directly, as I say, ship to South Africa, but you can get it from a number of places. It was on amazon.co.za for a bit. They're not sure when it's coming back, which is disappointing. But if you're looking at this space and you want something that really adds a lot of value to your workflow in a non-techie way, you're not tempted in between to start doom scrolling through all the news and whatnot and your social media, because this does not do that. So it does keep your focus very much on working with a notebook. It's just an electronic notebook where your notes, your thoughts, your documents, stuff that's relevant for a meeting are all in one place, all on a device that you can write on without too much fiddling, you know, because often it interrupts the flow of a meeting. But if you're simply taking some notes, you're making a few marks on a page, people do that all the time when you're in a meeting. It's not a bad idea, I should say, to have something like that to keep you going. For a while, I was recording everything and trying to read the transcripts, but life gets involved and you tend not to. Then you rely on memory and things are said that shouldn't, you know, it just doesn't work extremely well. So if you're looking for something to add to your workflow that makes life simple, makes it easy, harks well towards an analog paper notebook, except you never need to worry about losing the paper. All of it can be backed up to the cloud, and it lasts forever. You forget to charge it, and after 3 weeks, it gives you enough time to find 10 minutes to charge it up. It's fast. It has more than enough memory, and it weighs absolutely nothing. In the folio, it really is very pleasant, and it's absolutely a pleasure to use and to play with. So once again, if you're looking for a really good paper tablet without all the bells and whistles of normal tablets, the Remarkable.com Pro, Paper Pure Pro, to be exact, is a really good one. There are other models, but this one seems to hit all the right notes and really does work extremely well. Now, on that note, I've got another quick live read, and then we're going to have a break for our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and talk about the hottest topic right now. Everybody is talking about AI agents, and there's some really interesting points and ethical and other sort of security things that is becoming pretty much the next frontier. I mean, the technology is always finding some sort of frontier or another. But for you and I, working in a small business, working in a big business, working at home, there are some compelling reasons to use agents. Sometimes they're madly expensive, like in Perplexity Computer. But if you use Claude or any of the others, understanding what AI agents do, why they do what they do, and how they do what they do, can make it a lot easier for you to figure out what it all means. And it's not just this what's happening type five. But we'll be back with that straight after our sponsors. But a quick live read. Thursdays and Fridays mean fresh magic at the Family Bakehouse. Golden challahs, babkas, biscuits, and cakes baked in small batches with no shortcuts. Perfect for for Shabbat or the weekend. Well, what's a Shabbat without challah for breakfast on a Saturday? Find the Family Bakehouse at Genesis, Aurox, and selected distribution centers across the region. And we'll be back straight after this, and we'll talk all about AI agents.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And again, I think a quick recap of what is going on, where we are in the state of AI globally, and certainly in your own little home and computer and pocket. It is impossible to have a conversation about technology without discussing AI. Simply put, it is infected, if you want to put it that way, every single aspect of compute across almost every platform that you may use. It's built into the operating systems, Windows that you use. It's built into the programs, the accounting systems, the payroll systems, the point of sale systems. It's built into the security platforms. Wherever you go, there's some form of AI functionality working either in the background, the front. It doesn't matter where you go. Taking pictures on your phone, they called it machine learning, call it AI. The pictures are being manipulated and managed through a form of computer intelligence, if you want to put it that way. When translations, you name it, there's no way that you can avoid some form of AI functionality built into absolutely every app that you work with. And it evolved from the chatbot and the LLM, the large language model, of literally not even 3 years ago. And it has moved incredibly quickly and has spawned a next generation of compute or AI existence, and that is agents. And agentic AI is now becoming the complete buzzword. And simply put, it means that when you ask the system or the process for to do a task, it can now spin up a number of personalities or agents to do the work for you. So a perfect example is you want to create a business plan. You upload all the documents, or you want to analyze your inventory. You upload all the documents. And here's where it starts getting a little bit interesting. If you simply do that in a standard sort of current AI from, you know, ChatGPT or any of them, it does a fairly good job of analyzing those documents and coming up with some information out of it. But where it gets super powerful is if you can have specialized agents to do a lot of different tasks at the same time. Now, the best way to step back and understand how this works is that if you have an analytics department in your business, you would have someone specialized in analytics. You'd have a data scientist. You'd maybe have a chartered accountant, a business advisor. It doesn't matter. Some form of specialist that would look at these things and give you advice. Well, with AI agents, you can create your own specialists. You create a skill. You create a little entity that you can nominate. If you do something again and again and again, you create an agent that is specifically designed to be an expert, an analyst of XYZ data. And then you have another one that can look at marketing, and you have another agent doing this and that and the next thing. And these advanced systems go way beyond a simple chatbot or a simple AI platform. These agents can now plan tasks, make decisions — this is really important — and execute multi-step workflows. So normally in a normal business, or even at home, you do this, then you do that, then you do the next thing. And once you've done all those things, you collate it all together, make some decisions, go shopping, do whatever the hell else that you need to do. And it can coordinate across different tools and apps. So if you want to create PDFs, manipulate or make videos, you know, all this type of stuff can all be done through an agent. And they can execute them essentially on your behalf. And it's like having a digital team member which is working alongside you. Now, the benefit and the scariness of this is that essentially one man, one woman, one person can work as if you have a team of 20, 30, 40. There have been instances where people have spun up hundreds of agents to do hundreds of complicated tasks. And in effect, they do this autonomously. They talk to each other. They talk to various outside platforms. You give it access to your WhatsApp, to your emails, to your files, to whatever you want, to other people's national databases, you name it. And it can take all that information and summarize it for you. The downside is that agents cost money. In most cases, it's tokens. Whichever platform you work on, you can burn through tokens like nobody's business. You can spend hundreds of thousands of rands setting these things up, just like people. But where this is getting really interesting is, despite the fact that all of these agents can handle your emails, check inventory levels, schedule deliveries, analyze sales data, draft reports, do this all in one quick flow. It's like having a junior with you, whatever you want. These agents are evolving so quickly that you need to understand the context in which these are working. And context, or the context manager of these agents, is exactly the same as a human being. If you're the manager of a department with 15 different people, your job is to manage them, assign tasks, check discipline, ensure they meet company policy or government, whatever. You, as the initiator of that department of agents, remain liable. And this is a whole new area of business. And that is the identity of these agents. Obviously, we all agree these are not people. These are not real people, and they cannot be held liable as real people. However, in effect, they are doing people jobs. So they are connecting to other departments, asking for information, extracting that information, and giving it to someone else for other things. You need to be able to say what they can access, what they can't access, what has to be carefully kept within the company. Your personal information shouldn't be shared with everyone who asks, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the hottest topics is, how do you manage this new digital workforce? These are effectively your agents. You're out there doing multiple tasks across multiple platforms, across multiple sources of data. And if something goes wrong and that data is leaked and somehow compromised, and it can be done in spectacular fashion, there's currently a lot of talk about billions upon billions of records, terabytes of information of South African stuff, IDs, whatnot, out on the dark web, available for purchase. So that used to take a lot of time and effort to put together, but now we're sitting in a position where digital agents can do it concurrently. So a task done by 20 people, if it's broken up and managed correctly, can be done way quicker than a task done by one person doing 20 different things. And that's exactly how AI agents go. So these powerful software tools, without real feelings, without consciousness, emotions, legal rights, or any need to take a coffee break or rush off and play a little bit of padel, are unbelievably powerful, but only operate on the patterns and data and instructions we give them. And the distinction is absolutely crucial, because you have to set proper boundaries for these AI agents. And that is the whole idea of managing them. So a lot of talk is going on around, these agents are going to kill our jobs, they're going to take away work, and what are we going to do, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's the difference. Everybody understands that to get a job done quicker, especially if it's based on a digital platform, is good sense. It's more efficient. You can do more. You can make many more decisions with much better data in a much more organized fashion if it's put together in the correct way. So the jobs may be going away. You don't need someone to trawl the web or to go through 30 databases and create new spreadsheets, because the computer will do that for you. But you still need to understand what it is that you want to do. So you need to really work out and have the skills to know what your profession does. And the same token, you need to understand, even though 20 people are doing the jobs, a good manager doesn't know in deep detail everything that a person does to get their job done, but certainly has enough oversight on the context in which these people work, and designs the workflow in a way that it executes what the business needs. So the point here is that your job may not be the same thing where you used to simply go through spreadsheets and make new spreadsheets and collate data and manipulate stuff. The computer does that for you. But you need to understand how it's done and why it's done. And you need to explain to the computer, like you would an employee, by creating a skill, that this type of repeatable stuff is done in a very proper way. You have to tell the agent that it cannot do this and that it needs to protect the data in this and this way. You need to set the guardrails that this data does not move outside the business. So there is a whole new era of skills and knowledge and things that you need to do. And whether this will affect the job market or not, it will, but it definitely will create the ability for people to manage agents in and manage AI in a way. So that makes perfect sense. And what I've been telling a lot of young people who are just coming into the work business is to work on AI skills as a manager. Understand what's needed, understand the process, understand what it is that these agents out there are doing, or why they are doing what they are doing, and then manage how they do it, not the actual doing, which is brilliant. So it is really important, once these proper guardrails are set up, once the proper boundaries are set up, and these agents, which become your agents, and agency means that you remain responsible both legally and practically. If they do a damn bad job, or they mess up, or they use the wrong data sources and come to the wrong conclusions, and you pass them on to your bosses, your business, your own business, you can lose money, you can make mistakes, buy the wrong stock, do the wrong things, simply based on data that was faulty. And it's not the AI's fault. It was your fault in the first place on how you set up the AI, how you instructed your staff, be it digital or human. The manager rises and falls on his ability to orchestrate the people that work for him in a way that meets the goals of the business, meets your goals. And this is exactly why AI is the most powerful tool you'll ever have and can really completely diminish the difference between a small operation with two people and a huge operation that used to have 100 or 150 people doing multiple tasks, because it can increase your speed, it can increase your reach, and can allow you to do things that you could just absolutely physically not do because you did not have enough time in the day to do these sort of things. But using AI agents across the various platforms, doesn't matter which one you do, setting up the skills, understanding what it is that you are looking for, makes all the difference in the world. It is quite remarkable in terms of what it does, what it doesn't do, and how it does it. And in South Africa, as in across the world, the companies and governments are focusing on responsible adoption of these various tools. AI development companies are building agents tailored to local needs. So you're going to see more and more companies creating agents that are context aware. In other words, they create the context, they manage the AI, they understand the workflow. And there was an old adage in accounting is you can never automate a bad workflow. It's as simple as that. If it was a mess and there was no structure and there was no workflow that made sense and it wasn't achieving any goal, you didn't understand what it is you wanted from the people or the workflow or the data that you had, you can't automate it. Because when you automate a mess, you land up with a mess. The information you get is not accurate. It does not reach the goals of what you want. And you cannot deploy an agent just willy-nilly because you think, oh, I'd love to know something and give it a simple prompt. The danger with AI, it makes you feel powerful, but if you don't understand the business, you don't understand the need, you don't understand the context in which the system is going to work, because now the speed of these systems and the reach are just ridiculous, you are going to land up with garbage. And it's as simple as that. So instead of all the remarkable power of AI, you're going to land up with the remarkable power of bad information, which will just take you down the path of destruction quicker and quicker. So here we go. People and experts across the world are now understanding that having powerful tools doesn't get the job done. Having systems and platforms and processes that have the correct guardrails and human beings in the chain with regard to what you do and how you do it is key. Now, the AI is obviously only as trustworthy as the data you give it. If you give it faulty data, and in many cases, a lot of companies are now running the AI systems on their own platforms. In other words, the data is not leaving your platform, going to some unknown website in the cloud and then coming back where it could potentially be breached. That is another thing altogether. We've discussed AI and AI security in depth. But an AI agent or agentic management of identity and understanding all depends on, one, the context in which it works, what your understanding of what needs to be done. So like any good manager or any good person who understands his business, his workflow, what you need to do, if you understand it well and you're very clear and precise and you've mapped out what it is that you're looking for, the AI can do a remarkable job, because often you cannot process the amount of data that these platforms can process in the time that you have. You cannot work those hours in a day, a week, a year. But the AI, because it doesn't sleep, the AI, because of the speed at which it operates and the various agents, you can have 5, 10, 15 people working, people, I call them technical people, working on a problem, analyzing in real time, working with all the data that your company, your business, your home, your life, your emails, your WhatsApps, your social media generate. And all of that can be done really quite safely in the normal context. You can get it to answer emails. You can get it to draft documents. You can get it to do pretty much anything, depending on the skills that you want. You can get it to manage and manipulate your social media, create videos, create posts for LinkedIn. There's just a remarkable amount of work it can do if you know what it is that you want it to do. It's not, there's some generic stuff you can do very easily, but to do it right, to do it in a way that makes sense, is no different than you doing it yourself. The difference is you can do it far quicker. You can do it in a much more thorough manner. You can work in a much more organized way by simply managing both the context, the guardrails, and the data that you give to these various agents in order to get results that make a lot of sense. And the other side of the coin is that you can then use these agents to check, because often we do things and then we haven't got time to check what we did and whether it works. All of that can happen. So the key principle is keeping humans firmly in control. You should always have a human in the loop to review, approve, and override decisions in any agentic AI setup, especially in areas like finances, healthcare, legal matters, or any customer interaction. It's wonderful to have this AI handle your customer flow, but at some point, that interaction should work with a human. If a human wants an answer, ultimately, no matter how you receive that answer or get to that answer using whatever platform you want, it's always best to deliver that answer by a human. It makes a huge thing. So really, in summary, how do we manage this new digital workflow? You set clear rules and guardrails so agents stay within safe limits. You use them for repetitive or data-heavy tasks to free up your time for creative and relationship work. You focus on training and upskilling of the people, how to give good instructions, prompt engineering, so that the agents deliver better results. And then you need to pay attention to the ethics, bias, and privacy. You've got to ensure the agents are working fairly, your data stays within your company, and follows the laws of the country. So start low, start cheap, start with free low-cost agents, but start, because today, those that do are the ones that are going to succeed. And on that note, I can go on for a long time. And on that note, we're going to have a quick break for our sponsors, and then I'll come back with a quick live read. So we'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back, and our live read. Stay connected with everything High FM across all your favorite social media platforms. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and on YouTube at 101.9 High FM. From the latest news and community updates to competitions, behind-the-scene content, and everything in between, there's always something happening on our pages. So follow, turn on notifications, and never miss a moment with High FM. And obviously, tune in to my show every week, because you're always going to learn something new. So just a last word on the whole agentic AI thing. They are transforming businesses worldwide with more autonomous capabilities. Things like WhatsApp are growing up as a super app. There's AI built in. It can manage so many things. But the focus should be on affordable connectivity and skills training, both within your business and across the country. And a lot of business schools and a lot of universities and a lot of schools are starting to understand that the way that you approach compute and the way that you approach doing tasks in the modern world is very different. You don't need to know your times tables. The computer can times table better than you. Heard that at a conference from many, many years ago. But to ask the right questions, to automate smart systems, to work in a way that is really smart and then can be multiplied using all sorts of stuff, it is pretty incredible what AI agents can do. But don't be intimidated by the fact that this computer is smarter than you. It is not. You know your business. You know your life. You know what you want to do better than any computer program, even though often it doesn't feel like it. So ask the right questions. Understand the context in which you work. Be very, very direct with guardrails and make sure that you never, ever let the data land up in places that it shouldn't, because that can create issues that you just don't want to deal with. So enough on that. We'll talk more on AI agents as we go. There's always something. But in the last part of the show, I just want to go through a couple of really interesting stuff that has been happening out in the world of what we're doing. And this was really interesting. I think I announced last week that Amazon Prime has come to South Africa and is available for a moderate fee And Amazon Prime benefits are access to streaming Prime Video, music, fast delivery in major city, all sorts of exclusive deals. They've got Prime Day, and starting at really reasonable amounts of money. But here's an interesting one, and that if you're a Vodacom subscriber on their Red Core, Red Flexi, and Red VIP plans, and fiber users are included in this, you can enjoy all the benefits of Prime Video, the streaming, the delivery, the exclusive deals, and all sorts of stuff, starting from as little as 59 Rand a month per bundle. It's actually a great way for all of us to stretch the budget a little. Once you start using it, it is so remarkably simple. It's crazy. Now, they're offering on, depending on the plans, is, you know, nothing for nothing in this world. But essentially, they're offering 3 months free trial on the Red Flexi, with Red Core receiving a 12-month trial for Amazon Prime. It's an absolute no-brainer. And if you want to continue thereafter, they'll bill you at 59 Rand a month, which is not bad value at all. It really, I mean, just for the streaming, the music, the next day delivery, and all of that, you could save the 59 Rand immediately. On the VIP, and the home internet and fiber customers will receive free lifetime access to this. Obviously, it's available, you know, based on the service and yada yada, as long as you remain possible. Vodacom disclaim everything. But if you sign up for Amazon Prime and pay for your airtime, it just works like a bomb. So I think it's a great initiative. I mean, Vodacom have always been pretty good at bringing all these sort of things. But it's rolling out now in June. And check it out on vodacom.co.za. If you are a subscriber, see what your options are. If you're not a subscriber, have a look. It might just work really, really well. Now, another thing that's come across my desk, and it's well worth talking about, is that the Africa Tech Festival is happening in November in Cape Town. It used to be called AfricaCom, and it was... The dry air is getting my nose. It was a major event for telecoms, but now it's expanded into a general telecoms, AI, data center, cybersecurity, startups, and of course, digital transformation. And it is essentially the World Mobile Congress of Africa. And a lot of international companies, a lot of players across the continent meet in Cape Town, which is always fun. At a good time of the year, November is always a good time. The weather is good. So if you're interested in this or you live in Cape Town, the Africa Tech Festival has lots of options. They've even got some really inexpensive options to go to the floor, not to go to all the conferences and everything, though the real value lies in the speakers and the conferences there. So check this out. It's on africatechfestival.com. Just as I said it, I'm not going to spell it out. It's too long. africatechfestival.com. And there's a lot of different options and different bits and pieces. I generally attend this as often as I can. There's always something worth seeing and worth doing. And as I said, more and more, it used to be very focused on telecoms, but now it's across the entire spectrum of what is out there. And from a point of view, a number of launches, a number of really relevant stuff for businesses and for anyone involved in the tech space, and just the networking across all the various big players. So Amazon will be there, Google are there, Microsoft are there, all the major players in terms of what's going on, all the data center people, generally all the guys that are growing that AI ecosystem. So without traveling to some of these crazy European shows, which are always pretty, you know, just as big, this is a good one. So check it out. It's the Africa Tech Festival, and it's in Cape Town in November. It's well worth a visit if you're in this business. And then just in general, we discussed the whole thing, but I've been playing with the WhatsApp as a super app over the little while, and I'd recommend you have a good look at how it's working, especially WhatsApp for Business, using agents to really automate so many things. So WhatsApp is definitely evolving from simply being the communication, you know, sending a few text messages, making the odd video call and whatnot. It is becoming more and more using AI, and this is the AI built into pretty much anything from our friends at Facebook. And you are able to do a whole lot of interesting stuff across so many different platforms. But using WhatsApp as a super app, both WhatsApp for business and even WhatsApp for yourself, really makes a big difference. The other thing that has come to WhatsApp in South Africa is that you are able, I haven't been able to do it yet, but apparently it's rolling out as you go along, you're able to have more than one account on your WhatsApp. So if you have two numbers and you want to share it, before you used to have to, on iOS, you used to have to download WhatsApp for business for one number and WhatsApp for another number. You now can just use your WhatsApp for two numbers, which is really useful. You can separate your business number from your home number, and it all comes up in one interface and one platform. Have a look, go to your settings, and if there's a little plus next to your name, you can add another number, and it works extremely well from what I've seen. Unfortunately, I've been trying, can't get it to work for me yet, but apparently it's coming, and it's coming to all WhatsApp users in the next little while. And on that note, we're going to have a break for our sponsors once again, and then coming back with the tip and app of the week, and we'll take it from there straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, in our last little segment, we are trying to figure out a tip of the week, a little app, something that makes a lot of sense. I just kept circling back to Google Gemini or ChatGPT for everyday tasks. Now, we were talking about agentic AI, and that definitely takes things to the next level. But the basic free, or if you Google Gemini, or if you use Gmail and you pay for any form of Gmail, you get Gemini Pro, which helps make it a little faster. It's been rising really quickly. ChatGPT is great. Claude is amazing. But Google Gemini is being built into your workflow. We talked about, after their announcement, how they've completely rewritten search for Google Gemini. But my tip this week is to explore. When you go to Google search, you'll see there's now a thing called AI mode. Sometimes it works automatically. I haven't quite figured out when it decides it's got AI going on there. Sometimes it does it automatically. Other times it behaves just like normal Google. You get a list of links and sites and whatnot. But click on AI mode and use Google Gemini to do standard business tasks, speed up a lot of stuff, business plans, translating messages. If you get a doc in a foreign language, just copy it, paste it into Google Gemini and say translate. Doesn't matter what language, Chinese, French, Italian, Spanish, no difference. It'll give you instantly a fully translated form of that exact document. And it'll store it for you. If you want to go back, you don't have to do it again. Just look in your history, click on the document. There it is, translated in perfect English, or vice versa. You tell it, translate this English document into Chinese because you want to copy it, paste it, and send it to someone. Brilliant, quick, easy, so simple. Then ask, if you're on the Google ecosystem, this is where it gets a little spooky and a little scary, ask it to organize your week. Go through your agenda. Figure out if this works, because you can give it certain parameters, and tell it to create a checklist or to tell you which appointments are not possible. Look at the traffic and see if you can make from this meeting to that meeting, if you've planned it correctly. You know, normally you can do that yourself, but imagine just telling it, on Monday I have four appointments, one's in Sandton, one's in Eastgate, and the other one is in, I don't know, Randburg somewhere. What's the traffic like on those days? Am I going to make it? Do I need to push one out? Simple as that. Simple, clear instruction, and check always if the output makes sense. But it can unbelievably free up time in a busy schedule. It's incredible. Between juggling the kids, managing, shopping, whatever it is you do in a day, visiting, making meetings, often it just gets out of control. And imagine if you can just manage it, look at the transport, look at the timings, look at what's there, tell it to take notes from your paper thing, collate all the stuff, prepare a follow-up email after your meeting with all the points that you need to discuss, et cetera, et cetera. So just on a very basic, without using any of the agentic fancy stuff, both Google and ChatGPT can do an incredible job of organizing, managing, and working to give you hours back in a week based on your busy schedule, wherever and whatever it may be. planning travel, you name it. It's just so simple. The thing is, you need to absolutely have good access to the internet. That's another story. And you definitely need to give clear instructions and double check the output. Other than that, it can, this small little step can absolutely speed up your busy schedule and give you hours back in a week where you can listen to programs like this one and do all sorts of stuff. And on that note, I'm told our time is running out. I have to start wrapping up. So just as a last wrap up, honestly, the more and more I use the various platforms, I find that, yes, they may change the way that I work, but they're not taking away my work. They're making me work smarter. They're making me work faster. They're making me work in a much more organized fashion, because you have to think way harder before you do. So on that note, keep it real. Think a lot about what you do and do it smarter using the tools at your disposal. This is Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk right here on Chai FM.